we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the May 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. A teenage gymnast from South Africa tops the show. Caitlin Rosecrans was looking forward to fulfilling her childhood dream of representing South Africa at the Olympics in Tokyo later this year. Then the unthinkable happened. The coronavirus pandemic forced a year-long delay of the Tokyo Games. It was a shock and a serious challenge for Rosecrans, but also a mixed blessing. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
At the beginning of this year, Caitlin Rosecrans was flying high. The 18-year-old had just become the first woman since 2004 to represent South African artistic gymnastics at the Olympics. Rosecrans ramped up her training in anticipation of the games. But then, the global coronavirus pandemic took over, and the International Olympic Committee postponed the games until 2021.
Yeah, like I said, it was a really big shocker to me, but, you know, if you think about it deeper, it is at the best interest of all the athletes. You know, it's for the best of our health. So, you know, and if you look, you always try and look for the positive in everything. And it's bumped a whole year later. So now we do have more time to prepare.
The Olympic delay came just days before South Africa began a five-week coronavirus lockdown, which included closing all gyms in an attempt to slow the spread. Gone are the daily 8 hours of training at the Johannesburg Gymnastics Center. Now she trains at home for about 3.5 hours each day.
In gymnastics, a year can make a really big difference, you know, but I'm really hoping that in this year, you know, that now before the Olympics, that my main goal is definitely to stay injury-free, you know, keep that out of the picture, and just really focus on trying to upgrade my skills.
But the hardest thing, she says, is something everyone can identify with going through this pandemic, the isolation.
I've really just struggled not being able to be with my gym family every day. You know, I've, for since I can remember, I've been training for 6 days a week, you know, every week. And I see them every day. They are literally like family to me, you know. So to be able to have not seen them for, I can't even, I think it's going on maybe 7-8 weeks now, you know, it's really hard.
Olympians, they're just like us. Okay, they're also extremely skilled and hardworking athletes. And in these difficult times, their Olympic dreams may be delayed, but they're still very much alive. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
Yes, sporting greetings. This is three-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerijie. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chika. Anita Powell mentioned how Caitlin Rosecrans is training at home now for about 3.5 hours a day. I saw some video of Caitlin's training routine. She's doing a variety of exercises at home, including push-ups and squats, and she's skipping rope.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tracy Jones-Akerol, and national women team captain, Crested Cranes, currently basing in USA, playing and studying at Seminole State College in Central Oklahoma. And my message to my fellow Ugandans and my fans is, let's be each other's keeper. Let's all protect each other, take serious note on our preventive measures, and also be very, very cautious in whatever you do. I know we all miss so much that we would be enjoying right now, but let's consider our lives first as a priority. Very soon we shall beat this disease. We shall go to churches and mosques again. We shall hug our loved ones again, and we shall play and watch football again.
In Germany, the Bundesliga will become the first major European football league to return to action Saturday after a two-month delay due to the coronavirus pandemic. There are 6 matches scheduled for Saturday. The Bundesliga has a reputation of being fan-friendly, but it'll be difficult to get a sense of that this weekend. Fans won't be allowed to attend. In one of the games Saturday, Borussia Mönchengladbach is matched against Eintracht Frankfurt. Thousands of supporters of Mönchengladbach have paid for cardboard cutouts of themselves to be placed in the stadium. I guess you can say they will be there in cardboard spirit. With 9 match days remaining in the Bundesliga, let's take a look at the table. Bayern Munich, winners of a record 29 national titles, including the past 7 in a row, has a 4-point lead on Borussia Dortmund and a 5-point lead on Leipzig. More Bundesliga news. 22-year-old Ghanaian striker Bernard Tekpete has been ruled out of Fortuna Dusseldorf's match Saturday against Paderborn. Tekpete is sidelined by an undisclosed injury. He's on loan from Schalke, and he's one of 4 Ghanaian players at Dusseldorf, along with Kasim Nuhu Adams, Nana Opoku Ampoma, and Kelvin Ofori. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. What are your thoughts about 30 years of professional football league in Nigeria? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to the media officer of Nigeria's men's under 20 national team, Andrew Randa.
It's been 30 years of stress, 30 years of joy, pains, tears, and all that. The Nigerian Professional Football League has come a very long way. There's been a lot of crises along the way, a lot of good points too. Generally, the league is not exactly where it's supposed to be because of the attendant problems that comes with Nigeria as a whole. But we've been able to, you know, claim 2 continental titles, Eyimba, in the early 2000s, a brilliant performance, but then winning the CAF Champions League back-to-back. So that's a good one from the NPFL. But again, there are a lot of things that need to be done so that we can get to a good level that we'll be able to say, yes, our league is good, our league can export talents to major European leagues in the world like we used to do in the 90s. So it's something that we really need to come back to look at. But again, at the end of the day, I would probably say I'll rate it 6 over 10. On a scale of 10, I'll rate it 6 over 10. But there are a lot of challenges that needs to be sorted out, but we can't pull the NPFL away from the Nigerian system. There's a lot that has affected the Professional Football League because of the way Nigeria has become. So that being said, I would probably rate the NPFL 6 over 10 over the last 30 years.
Can you compare Professional Football League in Nigeria with some other African countries?
Nigerian League is very good, to be honest with you. Apart from the North African League and the South African League, I will say we're in the top, the second tier. The PSL in South Africa, the leagues in Algeria, Morocco, Tunisia, and Egypt, I would rate them as the A-class leagues in Africa. And, you know, Nigeria will be in the second category. You know, a lot of people say a lot of things about the NPFL, but I tell you what, when you go to countries like Guinea, Ghana, Niger, and a few other countries, you realize that the league here is quite good. Some will say TP Mazembe. Yes, TP Mazembe, but apart from TP Mazembe, Matema Pempe, there's virtually no other team in the league over there, you know, that you can say is basically on the same level as Nigeria. So, no, we are not at the level that we're supposed to be. No, we are not up to the scratch of the PSL or the Botola in Morocco or the Ligue 1 in Tunisia or the PSL in South Africa, but we're slowly and getting there. We are not up to scratch with the European leagues, obviously, but in Africa, I would grade Nigeria as, you know, being in the second category of the best leagues in Africa. There's still a long way to go. Hopefully, you know, in the next 30 years, we'll see a much, much better improvement as time goes on.
Which way forward for Nigeria's Professional Football League?
There are little things that need to be sorted. First of all, teams have to be community-based because most of our teams are tied to the government. It's being run like a government parastatal, and we all know that football is a business. Except we run our football as a business, it's going to be extremely difficult to get to the levels that we want to be. So that first issue has to be community-based stroke, business-oriented, and then we have to, you know, get good stadiums with good playing pitches, you know, so that the players who are the key actors here can be able to strut their stuff on the pitch and play good football, which will attract fans back into the stadiums. And then there's also this issue of security at our stadiums. That also has to improve. The league management company also have to be very, very hard on teams that break the law. They have to to make scapegoats of them so that they will do realize that they can't do things the way they want to do. They have to follow the law as it is, you know. And then, of course, administrators have to treat players like gold. You have to treat players like they are the main actors. They are the people that need to be taken care of, because they are the ones that will bring in the fans, which will bring in the monies that will be used to prosecute the league and also to pay players. Merchandising, too, needs to be taken seriously if we're going to make progress. So security, administration, business orientation, and a whole lot more has to be in place so that by the next 30 years, we will be at a very, very good level.
That's Andrew Randa, the media officer of Nigeria's men's under-20 national football team. And Andrew spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Jos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Andrew Randa, media officer of Nigeria's under-20 men's national team, the Flying Eagles, and also head of media and communication, Means Palace Football Academy, Jos. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Andrew. My VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, included auto racing news in his latest Game Room podcast. Let's step on the gas pedal now and give it a listen.
It gave me a really empty feeling because the fans really make that race.
Six-time Formula One world champion and Mercedes driver Lewis Hamilton misses the fans.
You know, what's great is, you know, I get messages from people around the world who are struggling during this period because they're not getting to watch sports. And it just shows how significant sport is in people's lives. It brings us all together. And it's so exciting and captivating. And so I don't know how exciting it's going to be for people watching on TV, but it's going to be better than nothing.
Formula One boss Chase Carey has put in place plans to hold 4 races without fans present. 2 at the Red Bull Ring in Austria and 2 at Silverstone in the United Kingdom during the month of July. Lewis was all set to go when the season-opening Australian Grand Prix in Melbourne was suddenly cancelled in March.
I don't think any of us have had enough time to really truly unleash the potential of our cars. So, yeah, I'm excited to get back in. I really, really do miss it.
Plans for the remainder of the Formula One 2020 season are far from clear and will depend on the ongoing situation regarding the global coronavirus pandemic.
You have to look at it. The positives, and I think look around the world, the skies are clearer. I think people probably appreciate this time more, their families more, their relationships more. There's so many things to come out of this, and I really hope that we all can grow from this experience.
Formula 2 driver Ganyu Zhou is making plans to move up and become China's first Formula 1 driver.
I think this is really important for myself and also at the same time more important for the country, because there's never been a Formula 1 driver in the Grand Prix before for the final race. So I'm really pushing hard, working hard to achieve that.
Zhou is also a test driver for the Formula 1 Renault team and has been getting some very good advice from former Formula 1 4-time world champion and Renault Sport non-executive director Alain Prost.
It's always great, you know, having a world champion, a former world championship winner that's around you, around the paddock, around your team. That's the advice they give you is definitely really useful and helpful. And he's always there, or most of the races he will be there supporting the Formula 1 team. And in the meantime, he's always watching Formula 2 races. So that's made me very happy or want to do well.
The Chinese Grand Prix at the Shanghai International Circuit has been part of the Formula One calendar for the past 15 seasons, and fans there have yet to see a Chinese driver behind the wheel. But before Zhou can make that a reality, he hopes everyone can get past the pandemic like China seems to be doing.
I don't think European countries or all the other countries can be improved quickly and maybe very soon to be same condition or maybe better like China. And the most important is staying home and don't go to the places where there's a lot of people around. So keep yourself fit and hopefully everything will go well.
Driver's word formed around the virtual track as pole sitter Pascal Wehrlein of Mahindra Racing stormed a victory in round three of the Formula E Championship fundraiser.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Pascal, we can hear you.
Yes.
There we are. We were looking at you. Your hair looks fantastic.
Not only did his hair look great, he drove great.
Yeah, the start was very important, obviously. So after that, I think, I don't know what happened behind me, but it looked like a small crash. So, yeah, after that, I had a small gap, and then I just kept the pace more or less the same like Stoffel. Probably in the end, I was a bit quicker, but yeah, for me, it was quite an easy race.
Stand up!
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
Virtual cycling still requires top riders to pedal hard on real stationary bikes, as the Astana Pro Team duo of Davide Martinelli and Manuele Borraro won the virtual Giro d'Italia. Borraro completed the seventh and final stage in a virtual replica of a real-life finish. I arrived at the end of the real Giro d'Italia underneath the Milan Cathedral, and now I've done it in the virtual race. It's been a nice experience. The team wanted to be competitive. They wanted to come here and try to win. It's been a demanding stage, but now we can say we've won the virtual Giro d'Italia. The women's race was won by Trek Segafredo's Letizia Pertenorster and Ellen van Dijk, who was excited to win but had to celebrate apart from her teammate.
Yay! Yeah, it's a little weird to not celebrate it because it's a team victory, but we're not together. So maybe through the WhatsApp we can celebrate together. It's really cool to bring home as a team.
The real Giro d'Italia had been scheduled to get underway in Budapest on Saturday, but it will now be held from the 3rd to the 25th of October. The Game Room opens with news stories each week, or play anytime on VOAnews.com.
This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. With men's football slowly returning, a new report by the International Players Union, FIFPro, says the recent progress of women's football is at risk of being undone by the coronavirus pandemic. My VOA colleague, Gwen Uten, has more. Hi, Gwen.
Hey there, Sonny. The report entitled Raising Our Game was released in late April, and in it, FIFPro outlines its vision for the growth and development of women's soccer. The report also suggests ways to rebuild the sport after the coronavirus pandemic, the impact of which FIFPro warns could present an existential threat to the game if no measures are taken to protect it. In addition, the union is calling for continued financial support of women's soccer worldwide and says female players could lose their livelihoods in the aftermath of the current health crisis. Jonas Baer Hoffman is the general secretary of FIFPro. He spoke to Reuters News ahead of the report's release and said he believes the consequence of the suspended season will be much greater for the women than the men.
Very much, I think it is fair to say that it's going to be hit much harder. Yes, the men's game has more financial capital, but also just more operational attention and the political attention in this time of crisis. And that not being applied puts a huge risk at the women's game for being hit harder and therefore to be thrown back many years of its development if we don't pay attention to it now.
The pandemic has disrupted the international football calendar at a time when women's soccer was enjoying a boost in visibility, driven by the success of last year's World Cup tournament. And Bayer Hoffman says the soccer industry and the players themselves have been dealt an additional blow with the postponements of both the Women's European Championships and the Tokyo Olympic Games.
It is a massive hit to the game, absolutely. And we must also understand it's not just the big tournaments. Many of the female players are very much dependent in terms of their income for representing their country. They usually have a dual income stream between their club and their national team football. Now, when there are no games played, many of those players will be struggling to receive that compensation from the federations, which may just force them out of their professional careers. But when it comes to the tournaments themselves, they are the biggest spotlight by far. And I think the combination of the values of the women's game, which run a little bit outside of the purely commercial scope, combined with the patriotism of course, a World Cup and everything that comes with it, that has had an enormous draw in society, which is fantastic. So we need those tournaments, obviously, to be played. It was an understandable decision with the Olympics moving that then the Euros would have to move as well. Simply also from a calendar perspective, having two of those major events in the same year, plus a men's Euro, would have been incredibly challenging, of course. But we need those events to keep driving the public attention and the public buy-in to what this game offers on the women's side, which is maybe different and in some ways more interesting or better than on the men's side to some of the people who enjoy the game.
Bayer Hoffman believes football clubs on the men's side will bounce back, but he's not as optimistic for the women. And he says efforts must be made to ease the financial burden on women's soccer during the crisis.
Can we now protect those? Or do we fall back into the era where it was before, where it really wasn't sustainable to be a footballer, where it really was more an amateur game? And that, of course, doesn't allow the game to thrive because the player... they can't put the time in, they can't put the commitment in to really be the best that they can be. And then overall, of course, the development of the game in society is slowing down. So it's, again, it's many factors, but we do have a concern that simply the growth won't be sustained and that we will lose some of the clubs, especially those who are not affiliated to bigger men's teams that can maybe carry the financial burden easier.
Kim Little is a FIFPro player council member and team captain for Arsenal. She tells Reuters the uncertainty that surrounds the coronavirus pandemic has put players in a vulnerable position.
We're in this, uncertain time right now, which none of us could have predicted. And I think because of the stage of where the female game's at, I think it puts a lot of players in a vulnerable position in terms of what they do for a living, because the circumstances that a lot of players work in are, very unstable in the sense that contracts aren't particularly long. Some players, have to work, another job because, financially they can't just live off their footballing wage.
And Little says the postponements have halted the forward progress of the game.
There's been a lot of time and effort and progress that's been made within the game over the past, decade, even longer. And the World Cup last year was also, the biggest and most current example of, how much it's growing. And I think by the delay of, the Euros next year and other, tournaments, the visibility of the game is not there. And I think to keep it progressing at the same rate, there needs to be, the right decision made to not allow that to affect the progress of our game.
Jonas Bayer Hoffman says the published report is a call to action to ensure the women's football industry is protected.
We need the stakeholders to all come together now because everybody can contribute. The women's game needs the club and the national team football. We need a broad base in many countries. We need coordination because, of course, in many countries, the resources in the women's game are not very developed. So there's guidance that the global sectors, the confederations can give. So we want everybody to chip in and to build a plan how we build the game.
The day before FIFPro's report was published, news broke that the Women's National League team AFC Fylde had disbanded. The English club ended their season in March, but a month later, the club issued a statement that said the decision to disband was made due to the current and ongoing fluid situation regarding COVID-19. The filed football club is believed to be among the first women's professional team to be cut amid the pandemic. And I will leave it there. More sporting news to come. Sonny, I'll hand it back over to you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen, and you have a good weekend too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the May 15th edition of the show. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation of the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat and dumbolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is VOA News coming to you.